versus Holder, 12-1623. Mr. Marotta?
Yes, Judge. May it please the Court, my name is Gregory Marotta, I represent the petitioner. The three things I'd like to talk about today are the jurisdiction issue, the issue of whether the board improperly denied the motion to remand, and whether the overall denial of the claim was an error. First, jurisdiction. The respondent raised the issue because when the board denied the claim, it had remanded the matter to the immigration judge for the voluntary departure issue. We would argue that the claim was final when the board made its final decision because the petitioner never asked for voluntary departure, so we felt that the petition for review was ripe when the board made its decision. According to the statute, the filing of the petition for review should have terminated the voluntary departure.
Now, the BIA remanded to the IJ for voluntary departure in February, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And has the IJ made a decision on that yet?
Yes, the IJ, basically, the petitioner went to court, didn't ask for voluntary departure. The IJ simply reinstated the order of removal. So the entire case ended 30 days from that decision. So I believe it was June 5th, 2012, the IJ made that final decision. No one appealed, so it became final 30 days later. So the respondent's argument that this court should not retain jurisdiction is an error because there is nothing for the case to go back for. The respondent had argued that since the voluntary departure was still pending, that this court shouldn't retain jurisdiction. As I believe the First, Sixth, and Fourth Circuit in similar cases said, we're not going to retain jurisdiction because there's another remedy below. That's not the case here. Those cases, in those circuits, the voluntary departure was still pending. It's not the case here.
Mr. Marotta, so, can I just ask you a quick question about this? My impression is that remand was basically to correct an oversight by the IJ. Is that right?
That's correct.
If you had asked for a voluntary departure, right, then the IJ would have been required to give your client the advisements about the choice.
I mean, he should have given the advisals either way. I mean, in my opinion, he shouldn't have granted voluntary departure because we weren't seeking it.
Right.
So he was kind of covering all his bases. In case you wanted it, you seem eligible, I'm granting it.
Okay.
But we never asked for it.
Okay. But I guess part of what I'm concerned here is more with the prudential issue that's been raised here, where the IJ has made a mistake, and then the government is saying, and everybody has moved forward on a timely petition for review, put the time and money into filing the briefs and so on, and the government is saying everybody has to start over again because we had to go back and fix this minor mistake that we made. Seem to me like a very compelling reason to decline jurisdiction.
I agree. That's basically our argument. It doesn't make sense. And since it's moot at this point because there's nothing to fix anymore, it's been fixed. So that's correct. I don't see any prudential reason for you to not retain jurisdiction. As far as the merits, we feel the immigration judge erred when the court failed to find a well-founded fear. We believe the immigration judge's decision was flawed because when he made his review, if you look at his decision, it's at 102, the joint appendix at 102, he talks about whether or not the petitioner would be persecuted in China for his practice of Falun Gong in the United States. And he specifically never talks about what would happen if the petitioner went back and was actually practicing Falun Gong in China. He never makes that analysis.
Why would he have to practice it?
Well, that's what his well-founded fear is based on. If he goes back, why would he have to practice?
He did this only started over here.
There's
some question about, are they after him because he practiced it over here? But it seems if you say anybody that might go back and practice Falun Gong deserves asylum, that means everybody's going to say that. Nobody's going to go back.
Well, that's why the immigration judge has to make that determination, whether or not the respondent is credible. And the judge found this person credible. The petitioner was found credible, and but the judge's analysis is flawed. It's true. Anybody could say, yes, I practice Falun Gong, just like anybody.
But wasn't part of that analysis had to do with the fact that he practices it mainly indoors?
Well, that's another flaw in the judge's decision.
If he goes back, if he goes to China, he could practice indoors as well.
But he does practice outdoors as well, and he said he prefers to practice outdoors, something about extra energy, and it's better to practice outdoors, so he prefers that. That's another flaw in the immigration judge's decision. He fails to talk about the fact that the petitioner does practice outdoors, and it's part of the practice. And that's why he thought he would get caught. Then, in the motion to remand, there was additional material supplied to the Board of Immigration Appeals. In the motion to remand, the petitioner had spoken to his wife, and his wife said that they know that you're practicing because he went to a parade and a demonstration in the United States. There were photographs taken. Apparently, they know he practices. So that additional fear made him make the motion to remand. And that was the one thing the immigration judge said. You don't really have any proof that they're going to find out you practice. So this was additional proof that the board basically ignored. There was a sworn affidavit from the petitioner saying, I've talked to my wife. She told me they're after me, and now I'm really afraid because they really know. So this is a sworn statement, and it's prima facie evidence that his fear is well-founded, that the government knows that he practices. And the board just dismissed it out of hand, said, well, it's a heavy burden under the case law. You haven't shown that the decision would be different. But clearly, this was the one piece of evidence the judge said he didn't have. The petitioner was found credible. I believe you practice this Falun Gong, but I don't think you're going to get caught if you go back because the government doesn't know you practice in the United States. The theory, the analysis is flawed. The judge didn't think about what would happen if he goes back and he's practicing back there, just like we don't ask someone to stop their religion when they're in the United States. You become a Christian or some other religion in the United States and you go back to your home country. We don't ask you to stop practicing your religion because the government doesn't like it.
Or to do it inside.
Or to do it inside. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So those are the main reasons we find the board erred, and this court should retain jurisdiction.
I guess if I could kind of go back to one of Judge Mannion's questions, I think I share some of this concern, because under your theory, practicing Falun Gong for anybody who manages to make it into the United States looks like a guarantee of asylum.
If you actually practice Falun Gong, it is. Mm-hmm. It is, because of the communist regime in China will persecute you. I mean, if you look at the State Department reports, if you look at any of the background material, people don't really practice Falun Gong a lot in China because the Chinese government is so harsh. People will get arrested. They will be detained. They will have, at the very least, they're going to be sent to a re-education camp until they agree to stop practicing. And that's persecution. Now, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Ms. Wong?
May it please the Court, my name is Sue Wong, and I represent the Attorney General. Your Honors, the record in this case does not compel reversal of the agency's determination that petitioner failed to carry his burden of proof for asylum and withholding of removal. At the outset, we'd like to tell the Court, in terms of the jurisdictional issue that we challenge, we are withdrawing that particular challenge because it's clearly moot. So going forward on the merits of his asylum claim, the opposing counsel didn't raise this during our argument, but in terms of his claim based on his wife's sterilization, matter of JS takes care of that pretty much, and the petitioner did not say that he himself independently suffered any type of persecution based on that, on the family planning policy. And the fact that he didn't challenge the IJ's decision about well-founded fear for persecution based on the family planning policy, this court doesn't have jurisdiction. He has waived that issue. Now,
you'll get to this Falun Gong.
Right, the Falun Gong situation, Your Honor, The petitioner, he testified that he practiced mainly at home, and when he has time, he would go outside because, what did he say, it was a cosmic energy, was better. In any event, he says he practices mostly at home, and there's no reason for him to do any differently if he were to return to China. And again, Your Honor, we have to separate the difference between the actual merits hearing versus the motion to reopen evidence. Now, in the merits hearing only, before the immigration judge, there was no evidence whatsoever that the Chinese government was aware of his Falun Gong practice. And that was the main point that the immigration judge denied his application on. And there are also other reasons that petitioner is not a leader, and according to the State Department reports, the Falun Gong leaders and individuals who basically are in any leadership positions are the ones who are targeted mainly. And in terms of the motion to remand, the evidence from the motion to remand, it is a different standard. It is an abuse of discretion standard. And so the evidence he submitted was a letter from his wife, and we would note that it was unsworn and unnotarized letter from his wife. And the timing seems to be quite interesting because...
Can I ask a question? Sure. In China, are notaries part of the government?
I'm sorry?
Are notaries part of the government?
Your Honor, I believe it is.
So to notarize that letter, she would have to go to a government official
or sworn
to say that, to certify her letter to her husband saying the government is after you.
Your Honor, I don't know for a fact whether all notaries are government entities in China, but the bottom line is there's nothing to verify there's no objective evidence to corroborate the wife's letter.
Could I ask you on this, on the merits, on the original merits hearing, I guess the concern I have is how the reasoning here, for example, would apply to, let's say, somebody from Iran who comes to the United States, converts to Christianity, and seeks asylum on that basis, on the theory that they would be persecuted if they returned to Iran. There wouldn't have been any basis or history of persecution in Iran before they came. But that really wouldn't matter, would it?
Well, in this case it does, because if the Chinese government didn't know that he was a Falun Gong...
He wasn't.
Right, he wasn't.
So, okay, let's talk about the convert problem, okay?
Well, I also want to note that this Falun Gong, it's not akin to a religion, really, and so...
See, that's important. There is that distinction.
Right, and so it is not something that is so innately part of his, is so central to his self, his being. It is actually, as he put it, some exercises, and they teach you to be basically kind to people. This is something he started to do, he claimed, in early 2009. And we'll submit that, again, the timing of this is very
But very certainly this practice is considered illegal in China, and adherents, according to the IJ, are harshly suppressed by the government. And even though, you know, the reports, this congressional report, show that someone who practices at home wouldn't be punished, the report also said there was not a consistent policy on penalties and punishments that were to be applied
right.
when you engaged in this.
And there's also the same country report also indicated that there are places where they allow individuals to actually practice Falun Gong out in the public in the park, and they would check on them once or twice a month and then get their ID, I believe, is what the State Department indicated. So enforcement appears to be uneven across China, whether you're practicing at home or out in the public. The key is that China, they focus on the leaders of the Falun Gong practitioner. And this individual, petitioner here, started practicing when he was, it was in 2009, soon after the matter of JS came out, where it indicated that abortion or forced sterilization of your spouse does not confer asylum eligibility to you. So we would submit, Your Honor, that in the motion remand, the pictures that he submitted, they're undated, and his affidavit that came along with it doesn't describe under what circumstances these pictures were taken, when it was taken, and we would submit that is insufficient, along with the unsworn wife's letter for the board to reopen this case because he has failed to demonstrate a prima facie eligibility for asylum based on.
I have a question on the voluntary departure. But they didn't want voluntary departure. I'm just following this. If there's no voluntary departure, does the government actually load them on the plane and send them back to China?
Your Honor,
the record on that?
Well, it appears that the Chinese consulate here will not issue travel documents for their nationals unless there's a final order of removal, basically when there's nothing pending anywhere before the board, before the circuit court, or district court.
For a practical matter, it seems that they don't send them back.
Right, because individuals are constantly filing motions to reopen before the board, and the consulate deems that as not a final order of removal.
Well, he has a wife and two children in China and been gone for 6 years, and obviously that would be at least an incentive to want to go back, but it seems that he didn't want to go back.
Well, Your Honor, his wife, he testified that his wife wanted to be smuggled to the United States along with him in 2003, and he's attempted three times to be smuggled in, and the third time was when he finally succeeded, and so he even testified that his interest in coming to the United States is to work, get a job, support his family, and that he couldn't make a good living at home.
What's he doing? Where is he working?
He claims he's doing construction currently, and that back home he was working at his uncle's food store. Mm. So, and he said that job did not provide enough money for him to support his family, and that he needed to get money from his parents to support his own family.
Mm. Well, I'm just curious about the fact when we get these cases from China, and they seem to go into some sort of a holding pattern where they, I don't know where they are, but I think we've got a whole lot of people.
It's a revolving door, unfortunately, because, again, if they keep filing anything that's pending before any tribunal, the Chinese consulate will not issue travel documents, therefore we cannot remove them. So individuals from China know this, and certain Second Circuit in particular, there's tons of cases. And so this goes round and round. If there are no further questions, Your Honor, the government submits on the brief. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wong. Mr. Murata, how much time? 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. What the government attorney said is true. The petitioner came here for a better life. He wanted to make more money, provide for his family. That's not really the issue. The issue is whether or not he'd be persecuted because of his practice of Falun Gong. He was found credible. He wants to continue this practice as it has helped him. He feels better. He feels healthier. He feels stronger. And there's no reason for him to have to stop if he's returned to China. It's not.
And you agree it's not a religion. You agree it's not a religion.
It's not a religion, but if you look at the State Department reports, it's in with the religious section. It fits with a religion more than it fits with anything else because it is spiritual. And although you don't go to a place of worship, there's no formal religious organization, but it's a spiritual movement, and that's why the Chinese government is afraid of it, because so many people began practicing it that the Chinese government saw it as a threat to its sovereignty, that this huge movement could take over the government. So that's why they cracked down on it and said, you can't do this anymore.
All right. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
We'll take the case under advisement. I'll call case number.